brought up the deliverance from Egypt. Why didn't I do that? I feel like wearing my shades today. Hang on a second.
I don't know where they are. Where's my shades? Yeah.
I don't know why I'm feeling the shades. I'm jonesing for them. I guess I miss sometimes the shades days. How's that? I got to polish them up a little bit. I should have brought you the Egyptian example. Israel was redeemed in Egypt by blood. They were redeemed by putting the blood on the doorpost. That saved them from the killing angel that came through. But they were delivered by power. Delivered by power. Same thing here. The world is delivered by... How's that look? The world is delivered. I might take them off if I can't see anything. The world is delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But they're redeemed by power. And we're seeing that depth. This makes so much sense in the book of the unveiling. Redeemed by power. Power. And I insist always, it takes power to change our bodies. So we're also redeemed by blood and delivered by power. Blood and power. Blood and power. The lamb versus the lion. I like this. I'm waiting for the power of God. But this waiting is starting to drive me crazy. I'm serious. I mean, it's waiting. The waiting game is hard, waiting for the deliverance. And what especially are we waiting for? The big thing. It's the deliverance of our bodies. I want to go to Romans 8:23 here. Listen to this. This is the biggie. Romans 8:23. Going to have to take the shades up here. Yet not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves are groaning in ourselves. This verse is a great comfort to me. And this is the verse that I did not read to you when I was on this passage a couple weeks ago about all creation. We ourselves are groaning, awaiting, that's the killer word, awaiting the sonship. The deliverance of our body. So this corresponds with what I was telling you yesterday, that the purchase has been made, the redemption has been sealed with the blood, but the body has not yet been delivered. So we're awaiting the deliverance of the body. And even though our outward man is decaying day by day, yet the inward man is being renewed. I'm going to talk about this verse this weekend. I know, maybe next weekend, or maybe it was last weekend. I don't know. I'm going to talk about this when it comes to the new creation, realizing that even as the outward man decays, even as you see your outward shell going away, and in the unveiling, as we start opening the seals one at a time, you're going to see calamity after calamity after calamity. These calamities God is using to bring creation back to himself. Likewise, now smaller scale, thank God, because we're aware of our redemption. You look at your body, you consider your life, you look at your failures. I don't recommend it, but sometimes you do. And you realize that, in a sense, seals are being opened. And you're seeing yourself as you are. And these are trials in your life, or realizations that I've been such a wonderful failure. And these things bring you to the outward man decaying, and you witness this. But as that happens, the inward man is being renewed. That's what's happening in the unveiling on a global scale. The outward things of the earth, its pride, its accomplishments, its art, its music, its wealth is being demolished, just like Nebuchadnezzar. Before I did the Revelation series, what did I do? I took you through secrets in the book of Daniel. And secrets in the book of Daniel, one of the big things there was that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was humbled. And for 7 years, not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen, maybe it is a coincidence. No, it was 7 years. That's not a coincidence. He was humbled and he wandered in the field. We also have a 7-year period in the unveiling when the world, the globe, is going to go through a Nebuchadnezzar experience, and they are going to be brought low. So we have this redemption. Let's go to other... I told you I was going to talk about the Redeemer, but I guess I'm not. There's other passages here talking about redemption. 1 Corinthians, and I'm doing this live here as I talk to you. I'm hoping to find encouragement here for myself as well as you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. That he should be discarding that which... I do like this in verse 29. He's going to be discarding that which is, discarding that which is. Amazingly, this is a letter to the body of Christ. And yet, what is happening in the unveiling? He's discarding that which is. What a correspondence. But for us, he does it early. You see, we already we're having our revelation now. We're having our unveiling of Jesus Christ. He's already unveiled himself to us. You see, you're experiencing the unveiling on a personal level because you have been chosen ahead of time. Peter said, Trial, something begins in the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. So, not that we're being judged, but we're going through this unveiling of ourselves. We're going through this realization of who we are, and we're being dismantled before our very eyes. Our outward man is decaying before our very eyes. And he's discarding that which is, so that no flesh at all should be boasting in God's sight. Nebuchadnezzar came to that. We come to that now. The world will not come to it until then. That's why it seems as though the world is way ahead of you. Because they still have their Nebuchadnezzar experience ahead of them. So in the meantime, you've had your Nebuchadnezzar experience. You're rolling around. Stop, drop, and roll in your ashes while wearing your sackcloth. That's where you are right now. The world looks down at you and they go, huh, you silly people, too bad about your luck. Sorry, but you're having a bad spell. Well, you're having a good spell, aren't you, Mr. World? But you are on borrowed time. We're actually leaps and bounds ahead of these people. Do you see that now? I see it now as I'm reading this passage. I'm leaps and bounds ahead of them, having already come into the humiliating, no flesh at all boasting in God's sight experience. Yet you and me are of him, and are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, besides righteousness, holiness, and deliverance. So he's become to us righteousness, holiness, and deliverance. Become, he has become. To us, he has become this. Righteousness, holiness, and deliverance. So I'm thinking about this. Wait a minute. He has become this to us. So our deliverance, our righteousness, and our holiness is now personified. Not in us, but in him. He is our deliverance. This is great because I don't have to look at myself and hope for deliverance. I can look at him and expect it because he's the forerunner. All right. I thought I was going to be disappointed with that verse, but I'm not. Ephesians 1, verse 7, speaking of deliverance, that's future. But it's way future for the earth, but we have it in such a active realization here. Where did I say? Ephesians 1, verse 7. This better be good. The glory of his grace, which graces us in the beloved, in whom we are having the deliverance through his blood. I think this is the figure of speech prolepsis again, calling what is not as though it were. And I, even though I've claimed this to be my favorite figure of speech, and it is, I'm getting tired of it. I'm getting tired of calling what is not as though it were. In a way, it's a comfort because it's so guaranteed. I wrote about this in my newsletter. Prolepsis is a figure of speech where God calls what is not as though it were, to acquaint you with the reality that it will surely be. But I'm a little tired of it. I don't like that passage. Colossians 1:14. Let's see what this would hold for us. I'm doing this live here. And Colossians 1:14. Again with this. In whom we are having the deliverance. Really? I don't see it. But I guess that's the thing. Let's go to verse before. Who rescues us out of the jurisdiction of darkness. Okay. I don't think that's proleptic. I think he actually does rescue us out of the jurisdiction of darkness. We're in it, but we're not of it. It has no authority over us. That's great. And transports us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's figurative. I'm not being transported anywhere. I'm not in the kingdom of the Son of his love. I believe this to be a reference to Eon number 5. In whom we are having deliverance. Okay. Clearly proleptic. Calling what is not as though it were. The pardon of sins. Okay, we have that. Okay, yeah, I'm a little disappointed in that passage. Sorry, Paul. Let's see. This has not been realized. That's true. Okay, that's what A.E. Knox says. All right, we better have some more help here. No? No, that's all we got here. Okay, but I think we're going to go to a verse later here that's going to help us even more. Anyway, the King James has not been helpful here by rendering the same word, deliverance and redemption, as I mentioned yesterday. Yes, here's a quote from A.E. Knock. This is a irritating quote. I'm going to read it anyway, but it really ticks me off. We have no enjoyment of it, that is, our deliverance, that which has been procured. Remember I read that yesterday? the deliverance of that which has been procured. We have no enjoyment of it until the day of its deliverance. No enjoyment of it. Thanks. No enjoyment of it. So, again, this is a realization thing. Oh, boy. That's really disappointing. Let's read this quote again from A. Enoch in The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. The actual enjoyment of possession is withheld. No kidding. Really? Yeah. Is withheld for the present. And he says, this thought is more easily conveyed in the epistle to Timothy. He's quoting Timothy. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 3:13. For those who serve ideally are securing for themselves an ideal rank. They're securing it. In other words, we have it. It's signed to us, but it's not yet sealed. All right, we got one last chance at some happiness here in 1 Thessalonians 5:8-9. So I'm going there with you live on the air. If I can find, where does that, is that after? Yeah, okay. 1 Thessalonians. Remember, my Bible was put together and it was misaligned. And so I have 2 Peter in 1 Timothy. And so I'm having problems. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 and 9. Yet we, being of the day, may be sober, putting on the cuirass of faith. This kind of is like a throwback, or should I say a forelook into Ephesians 6. Is forelook a word? Yeah. Our word checkers have confirmed to me forelook is a word. The cuirass of faith and love, and the helmet, the expectation of salvation. For God did not appoint us to indignation, but to the procuring of salvation. I get it. Putting on the cuirass of faith and the helmet, the expectation of salvation. We have to have a helmet of expectation. This is such a serious mental exercise, and it's so difficult that Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 is comparing it to a piece of armor. The helmet of expectation. It's like you have got to, and where do you put the helmet? Over your head. This has to do with thinking. The helmet of expectation of salvation. So I see it now. We're clearly admitting, God's being honest with us, you don't have it yet. Nobody's pretending to have it. If you do, you're smoking some weird drug or you're in some strange cult where you have to convince yourself that everything's wonderful, everything's happy, I'm changed, I'm a new person. No, you're not. You're the same old person. The only difference is you have now a helmet of expectation. You have a piece of armor called realization of the truth. And God is gracious enough to speak to us proleptically, that is, calling what is not as though it were, to help our mental apprehensions. In other words, it's so guaranteed that he's speaking of it as though it's happened, which in one sense could be frustrating because it hasn't happened and it seems like a tease. A really wicked, devious tease. But on the other hand, now, I think having read that passage in 1 Thessalonians, it is a piece of armament that I must put on my head, a helmet of expectation. In other words, I have to gear up my mind to realize that this thing, this deliverance of my body, is coming. And it's not only coming. It's guaranteed. It's not only guaranteed, I believe it's imminent. I believe it's going to happen soon because, as I've told you before, and I'll say it again, our deliverance, our redemption, preexists, happens before that of the world's deliverance. And there is no time peg that we are to look for, no sign, no season, no clue, no hint, no breadcrumb, no little clue on a folded piece of paper under the blotter on your desk. It could happen anytime. And God himself is waiting on tiptoe to deliver us. Because if you think you long for him, it's nothing compared to his longing for you. Let that thought sustain you until we meet again.